everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Are you going? Are you going? Let's go. Let's get in here. Rockets lose last night, 104-98. Wasn't a good game. I mean, got to shoot better. Fred, you got to shoot better. Fred, you just got to shoot better. Astros can't hit right now. I mean, if you give up three runs, you can't win right now if you're a starting pitcher for the Astros. The starting pitchers have given up next to nothing, and they're 2-2 on the season. Okay, it's early. They're not hitting. They're at home. It's typical. They don't hit.
Starting pitching's been okay.
It's been good.
Yeah, it's real good. I mean, you've had two.
Robert was great, and Arrigetti was great.
Two of them were great. Rennell struck some people out.
And Hunter Brown gave up three. I mean,
yeah, he's got to be better than that. But, yeah, I mean, three is you can't win.
You can't possibly.
If you give up three, it's unwinnable.
By the way, Kyle Tucker's homered in three straight games for the Cubs. Yeah.
I mean, Kyle Tucker's a good baseball player.
Yeah, he's good at that baseball.
Cam got hit by a pitch yesterday.
Yeah. And Isak almost had a hit.
Yeah, he got close. He's got one.
Is this what we're devolving into? Someone almost got a hit?
Almost got a hit. Yeah.
We celebrate different things early on.
I mean, we celebrated Christian Walker hitting the ball hard.
We do.
Well.
He does.
Yeah.
He hit the ball hard.
No.
What was his expected OPS?
Yes. I was always told that hit them where they ain't.
Mm.
Yeah, that's it. If you hit them hard, eventually they're gonna
fall.
I'd much rather have high exit
velo. Eventually, Dell.
What if he stops hitting the ball hard then?
Then that's a problem.
Oh, okay. So
he should have taken advantage when he was hitting hard.
As we can expect him to continue to hit the ball the way he's...
Man, we got
to
get some torpedo bats. That's
I know.
What's stopping us?
Well, it takes a long time to make them, apparently.
Technology.
No.
You got to push the wood further down.
I don't know.
Well, the wood has to go further down.
How did Ellie De La Cruz get his right away?
He probably has... Honestly, he's probably the same makers that make it for the... He's probably got a contract. Oh, this is how it works. Baseball players, a lot of them have contracts with certain bat makers.
Yeah.
And that's how...
they all do.
That's how it works. So if you got Astros... Well, Astros may get some torpedo bats, too.
Come on, Mariucci. We'll make some. Let's go.
Marucci. Yeah.
I'll call him Mariucci.
Jack Marucci. Yeah. Although somebody else is bigger than Jack now in the business. But, yeah, hopefully Jack makes it.
He started
I've got his
Baton
phone
Rouge,
number.
By the way.
Yeah.
He started in Baton Rouge.
He works for LSU still.
Yeah. He's good. That's how about that guy? Holy crap. Talk about a big business. All right. Kelvin Sampson, I've been trying to promote this, and we'll get you in, John. Trying to get to this. And this is a good little bite. This is Kelvin Sampson on who he is.
Are the people that know me. And that's all that matters. You know, my family knows me. Somebody else may hear something that somebody else said, but you don't know who I am. And who I am is an incredibly appreciative husband and super proud father to Kellen and Lauren. And they were a big part of why we took this job. I knew it was going to be a major reclamation project. It was just way worse than I even imagined once we got in there. But I did it with my daughter, and I did it with my son. I did it with my wife listening to me every night talk about what we don't have, to the point where she said, why don't you quit talking about what you have and focus on what you do have? I said, we don't have none. So it's, you know, twilight of this old career we have, and I was thinking about Rick. That's why I didn't go crazy there, because I was thinking about him. You know, Rick's 70. I'll be 70 in October, and we've both fought so many battles. And, you know, he's just one of my best friends, and hopefully he'll have his moment one day. But just proud of our journey. You know, whatever happens in San Antonio is going to happen. It's not going to influence how I felt about this year one bit. So, just super proud of our kids. Super proud of my grandkids. Super proud of my children. Super proud of my wife. You know, this has really been a family effort. Everybody's had their
So yeah, it really is. It's a family affair over there. Calvin has done it, and he did it. But basically, I mean, honestly, he did take it from nothing. It was that program was nothing.
After, he even told you it was worse than he even thought.
Yeah, he said it was bad. It was bad, and he turned it into this. So there should be a statue.
He deserves to be proud.
There should be a statue.
I mean, this guy's, you know, I mean, he came into my mind when he was at Oklahoma, and then of course we know he had that ill-fated stint at Indiana, and then he went to the Rockets. I'm sure he was somewhere before then. I just can't remember. And then, you know, we know what the Rockets as a defensive specialist, and got the Rockets defending. And I hated seeing him go. I was at the other station at the time, and you know, we talked a lot more Rockets, and it sucked to see him go because they, you know, they had a little attitude, and when he left, you could see the defense did go down. When Kelvin Sampson left. I mean, imagine Kelvin Sampson's personality, and he was a respectful assistant head coach under Kevin McHale. But imagine, you know, I think Kevin McHale let him be the head coach of defense. Can you imagine? And he had to deal with James and some of these veterans, but they played for him. And it's just amazing to me that you can continue to get these college guys to play for you. But when you set a standard and everyone knows going in who you are, it makes it so much easier. And he just had to get to that point. And it's, I just don't think people realize how hard what he's doing is in today's. It's hard to do it in Houston. It's hard to do it in this economy with the NIL the way it is, with entitled players the way they are now. He's been able to avoid all that. He's been able to find the right guys. And he's been able to, I mean, what he's been able to do, not a bunch of superstars, not a bunch of lottery picks. No lottery picks other than Jairus Walker. It's been an incredible run for him, and he deserves to be proud. And is he a cantankerous? Yeah, probably. Most of these hard-nosed coaches are. My dad was cantankerous as hell during a season. Jeff Van Gundy, oh, I talked to people who worked with him.
Yeah.
He was tough to work with during a season. Those guys usually are cantankerous, and they're not going to rub everyone the right way. But they got a job to do, and sometimes doing it requires them to step on some toes, and that'll happen sometime.
Yep. All right, let's quickly get John in here. I know we're behind on Bryce, but he called in. Let's get him in here. He wants to talk about the Cougs. What do you say, John?
Hey, guys. Great show, as usual. So, big Cougar fan all my life. Was in the 80s when I was a teenager, was going to games with Akeem and Clyde and yada, yada. You know, it was a great time. But, yeah, you're right. This is the same thing. It's a great time. But I just get sick of it. It's always when Houston does anything good, it's always what they don't have. But, you know, they do have a lot of things, you know. I mean, I'm on those Big 12 sites, and they don't get that Houston's how big Houston is. It's like L.A. and New York and Chicago, you know. And the only thing comparable to U of H is really, honestly, like you said, Miami and maybe UCLA. Yeah, because look how great UCLA was in their basketball program. They got half-empty stadiums there right now at the basketball games I saw. And the football is even worse. And the football is worse than U of H. You know, of course, they play in 100,000-seat arena. But that's kind of where we're at level, right? I think that's what we need to shoot for. I mean, I think USC is obviously a private school with big money, but I think the UCLAs and the Miamis are kind of where we're at, and we could definitely compete with those, and we obviously compete in the Big 12, right? So I think we're doing a lot of great things. It's obviously most rich kids go to UT and A&M and stuff like that. It's not – University of Houston is a middle-class school, right? That's just kind of the way it is. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. But you know, we got a great back. We have a great basketball coach now, and now I think we have a pretty good football coach too. So I think there's a lot of positive things that are happening for us. So, you know, that's all I got to say.
All right, yeah. Appreciate you, and you're right. I mean, yeah. Well, Miami is a smaller school, a much smaller school too, because
it's private.
It's private, so that's a little bit more difficult. UCLA probably is a pretty good comparison. It will be interesting to see, because I've got a little birdie told me, watch out, UCLA. Your Cougs are going to be really, really good next year, but UCLA is going to be really, really good.
They got some money over there at UCLA.
Well, and they got some players coming in. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of support that they get. They haven't had support there in a while because they haven't been any good. So it'll be interesting to see when they actually put a really, really good product that's got a chance at a national championship possibilities.
In
anyway,
what sport?
That we'll see whether or not they
basketball?
Get the support. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, anytime you win, you have a better shot. But yeah, it's funny. I go there every year, and there's a lot of people who live in California. I've talked about it with Money Smith and Bucky and Steve Smith and all those guys. And it's just like, there is an apathy towards UCLA that they have to fight against all the time. Where USC, Trojans, it's more ingrained.
But they
it's
have
just more
money.
Ingrained.
They have more money too. They don't. UCLA does not. The administration does not pander to the programs like USC does. They
no, right.
Yeah, right. They don't. 919 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 713-780-3776. Hey, you know, my wife is coming in today. I was batching it all weekend long. You know what I did? I played cards. I played over at Texas Card House. I played the tournament over in Spring, which is a beautiful facility. If you haven't been there, they have games going on all the time. You want to play cash games, you want to play in tournaments, you've got that. I mean, you got that at both facilities, Westheimer and you can go to Austin and play if you're in on your way to Austin and you want to find a Texas Card House. It's huge. Texas Card House is the premier facility for poker in this city now. Be it cash, be it Hold'em or PLO, be it tournaments the afternoon, or they've got one at 6 at night at both locations on Westheimer and in Spring. They've got a bar that's open till 2 a.m. They're open 24/7. So you're late night and you feel like, hey, I feel like, hey, there's going to be people there. It's going to be safe. You're going to have security. You're going to get wanded when you go in. If you're a poker player in this city, the place to play now is Texas Card House. Two locations, Westheimer and Spring. I love them. I think they're awesome. You will love them too. TexasCardHouse.com. Get over. If you're going to play, get to Texas Card House.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
.924 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 713-780-3776. I'm glad we did mostly a University of Houston show today. I just really feel like this is so important. This is so important for the city. I think it's so important for the university. This is a basketball school, and this school should get this kind of attention media wise. And I'm hoping the other stations do much the same. But let's focus on the Rockets. Last night they lose. J.J. Redick spoke on. Now, every coach has their superlatives about the team that they just played, right? The Rockets lose 104-98. They played a hard-fought game. I don't know if it was playoff intensity, but, you know, the Lakers really needed to win. The Lakers needed to win. They want to keep pace. They want to, you know, there's a chance that they could have fallen out. They're trying to get their playoff positioning. Rockets are trying to get their playoff positioning. Rockets were coming off of the Lakers were coming off of a game the other night, not two nights ago like the Rockets played, but the night before they had a day off in between. They played Memphis and they played that was a really tough game. That was a back and forth But that was a 137, 124, I think the final was, or something like it. In the 130s game, where the Rockets, you know, this game, there it was a 104-98 game. That's a grinder. Here is J.J. Redick talking about this Rockets team afterwards.
They're really good. They're really physical. They're really athletic. They're big. And what they've done throughout the season is they've beat you up by winning the possession battle. They're the best offensive rebounding team in the league by a large margin. They turn you over. They get deflections. They get steals. They get out in transition. They're typically winning the scoring opportunity battle every night. I think they're number five in the NBA. And they do that by valuing each possession and being intense and physical on each possession.
That's that Ime thing.
God, that's all we hear about is physical.
Physical, yeah.
I mean, if every coach talks about how physical the Rockets are, you need
it's
to listen.
It's real.
It means it's an important thing. When they all talk about they're very physical, that's an important thing. It's an important thing because physical can be box outs. Physical can be, you know, how you get over picks and fight through picks. It's stuff that if you play, you know what physical feels like. If you're watching, you probably don't think any. You just see some bodies kind of collide together. You don't think anything. You know, because basketball, you're thinking guys flying through the air. They're shooting threes. They're dunking. But there is a level of physicality that when, you know, when it's played physically, other teams 100% recognize.
Are they built for the? So we don't know anything about this Rockets team in the postseason. Is their physicality this a 104-98 game in the NBA is a dinosaur? Is this team built for playoff basketball?
Yes. Yes, they are. The physicality is always good in playoff basketball. Is this team ready to win? I don't think so, more than likely, but I'm okay with it because I think it's part of the process. I think it's going to be really hard for them to win, even in the first round. It's going to be a challenge because I don't think they're, you know, I don't think they're there yet. We'll see if they can stick to who they are and what they are when times get a little tough in the postseason. But maybe they are. That would be great. But I'm not upset in any form or fashion if they were to get knocked out in the first round. That would be fine. This is just part of the process. They're headed in the right direction. I am absolutely good with it. You play defense and you are physical and you create possessions, as JJ Redick just said, you are made for the postseason. The question I have is, if you look at the best teams, LeBron, Luka, Jokic, over the years, there's one guy who's a dude. And we don't have a super dude yet. And all these teams are led by super dudes. Are they in a position to win without a super dude? I don't know. I think they can. But how do you do it? You know, at some point, there's got to be a pecking order of who gets the big shots. I mean, it's important that everyone can hit it. But at some point, you got to know who's the guy that's going to take over the game. And that guy needs to be an efficient player. It's not inefficient players. You can't win at a high level without at the highest levels with inefficient players. James Harden was remarkably efficient. Kevin Durant. I mean, these are superstars. These are superstars. But they also win championships. And so if you're shooting for championships, do you have anyone on that roster that is somebody who can take over a game? Is Alperen a guy who can take over a game? I don't know that he is yet. Like, I don't know how many bigs can truly take over games. Jokic feels like almost a one-of-one type. And then, Giannis is a little different because he's not a – Giannis is just a –
Well, Embiid did a couple of years ago until the injuries catch up.
Yeah.
Well, Jokic wins, I mean.
Yeah, Jokic does, but Giannis is not – I mean, not – but Embiid is – like, I don't even like putting him in there because he had a couple – you know, 3 years, I guess.
Yeah, no, and Pete was a good player.
Yeah, he was a good player.
I mean, he was MVP. A good player.
But I don't think, but Alpi is not on that level. Guys are both great 3-point shooters.
Alpi's getting there.
Who would you rather have, Alperen or Cat?
I like Alpi.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah. Because I don't want to disrespect Cat. Cat's a good player. Yeah. Initially, I just want to go somewhere else other than Cat and go Alpi. It's a pretty good battle because Cat's step out game is so good that it really changes and alters how you defend. But I would probably say Alpern too. Now that may be being a homer. Who would you rather have, Dell? Alpern or Carl Anthony Towns?
He is an Alpy homer.
I'm not taking Alpy over Cat. Not the current Cat. The one who is great this year. Alpy's fine. Alpy's a good player, but he's not
all-star.
Yeah. Cat is playing really well.
And how about
he's an
yeah? I mean, Cat.
The way you've disparaged Jalen, NBA player of the week.
Good, how'd that work out for everyone last night?
He got benched in the fourth.
Yeah, player of the week. Congratulations, Ime don't care about that stuff, and he didn't shoot
the ball.
Well,
but apparently he does with Fred.
Dude. Well, we know that, but Alpi's actually not having as good of a year as he had last year. But he's an All Star because the team.
No, but everyone says that. But I haven't felt like it's the same either. And people get mad if you say that, but it's just. It hasn't felt
as good. He's an all-star because the coaches said, hey, this team is second best in the West. We haven't picked a player. Pick him. The numbers would suggest.
He's better defensively. Like, yes, there's some things I like.
But I don't know how much they dig into that when they're talking about all-star reserves. They had to get a rocket on the team, and he was the most likely candidate.
So Karl Anthony Towns shoots 42.5% from three this year. He shoots 82% from the free throw line, which is a big problem for Alpi. Has got to get better. He's averaging almost 13 rebounds a game with 24 points. He's for sure outplaying Alpern Şengün this year.
One of them is near 30. The other's, 23 or whatever he is? I mean, there's time. But as far as this year, I'm taking Cat.
Yeah, it's actually not that close from a statistical standpoint.
Cat's
got 100% Cat.
Potential first-team All-NBA type numbers. I mean, he probably won't make it, but there's a chance. Alpi's not in that category yet.
Yeah, that's such a big part. Like, now he does beat Cat in assists, but the field goal percentage is lower than Karl Anthony Towns. I think the one area that he can control that has to get a lot better is free throw shooting. He's a 70% free throw shooter. He's 69% this year. There's really no excuse for Alpern, who has good touch, to be anything lower than 78%. No excuse. The free throw percentage, I mean, those are points that you're giving away. By shooting less than 70%. Alpern is giving away points. He's got to get better as a free throw shooter.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. One segment, then News of the Weird coming your way. I'm talking about Game Day Men's Health. I'm talking about how good I feel. I mean, I like to be active. I like to be out there on the golf course. Nothing's more grueling and playing cards and golf. And so I'm putting my body to the max, to the extreme. Every single day, right? And I feel better than I ever have. And in large part, and this is no joke, in large part, because of Game Day Men's Health. I love what they've done for me. I love how I feel. I love that it is something that I mean, it just every day, wake up and feel good. And I'm telling you, and in large part, it is because of Game Day Men's Health. Because I've been doing testosterone replacement for years and years, and I still felt sluggish. Don't feel sluggish anymore. Feel great. More focus, more stamina. Everything about it. They've got peptides that will help you, whatever your issue is, get that peptide to help you lose weight, to help you gain muscle, to help you focus better, better sexually, all of those things. Game Day Men's Health takes care of it. Get there. If you're starting to feel punchy, you're starting to you're not the same guy that used to be. You can be. Your testosterone is important to you, but it's not only testosterone, it's a lot more. GameDayMen'sHealth.com, free consultation, labs in every facility, GameDayMen'sHealth.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Wow. 713-780-3776. Quickly get in here if you want to. I didn't realize this. Since 1997, there has been no NCAA men's national champion West of Houston. Baylor is the closest. Kansas, everyone. Florida, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, UConn, Syracuse, Villanova, Kentucky, Louisville, Michigan State. all Eastern teams. The West can't. Is that because of players? Is that
it's where basketball is? It's just prioritized. Why is football in the Southeast so big? Prioritized. Some of it's weather related.
Most of it's East. Most of it is East.
Basketball.
Basketball.
Well, you think
of the schools we generally think compete out West. We talked about UCLA's problems. Gonzaga's been close, but hasn't been able to get it done.
Yeah.
Utah had a little moment for a while.
And then Arizona is a perpetually.
Arizona's been around. Yeah.
A Sweet 16 type team. They haven't been able to make a Final Four in a little bit.
I mean, forever the Big East was the monster. I mean, you know, it matters more. Baseball doesn't matter as much in that area. Football matters not that much. High school football's not that big a deal in the New York area. Basketball, forget about it. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
In those areas, like football's big in some places. It's not in others. Lacrosse is big with the wealthier schools. Baseball, not really a thing for a lot of them because of the weather. Yeah.
Or those programs who would traditionally be powerhouses out West recruit nationally. They'll certainly recruit locally. But who do we – if we're depending on West Coast schools to win a national title, who will we talk about? UCLA? Gonzaga and Arizona. Who are the other West Coast schools that we would say that could be a program that wins or contends for national titles year after year?
Oregon?
They had a run, but we don't really think of them as a program
There's
that
nobody.
Can win. It's those three that I named, and since, if those three aren't winning them, who else? So it's going to lean.
Maybe, but to be fair, who are the East Coast teams?
Well, you got UConn. You got Duke, if you want to consider them East Coast.
Yeah.
So you've got plenty.
Well, you've named two.
Well, Virginia's been good.
Yeah, they won Syracuse.
Virginia had a year.
Yeah, well, they've been good, period. But
no, they've had some moments, but not long term.
Well, Tony, he's gone now.
Yeah, but they were a.
Not long term.
They had their blip when they lost the 16-1
matchup. I'm not talking about blips.
I'm saying is Virginia's been a legit program
North
for
Carolina.
Years. They had, and they finally won their
title.
It's
been a little bit, but North Carolina.
Michigan State.
Well, that's Midwest, more than anything else.
Well, but there are more blue bloods. There's more blue blood programs. Big Ten basketball is more blue blood.
Villanova?
There's not a Pac-12 anymore anyway.
Villanova?
How many is that? Three? And how
yeah,
many
Villanova's
years
had their they had a really good team a few years back.
Well, not a few years. You know? They went on a run.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever.
But we did not
address Roki Sasaki. Did you see him crying on the mound?
No.
Dude is his first two starts have not or his first was it first two starts?
Was he crying on the mound or in the dugout?
He was tearing up on the mound.
Okay.
Yeah, and then in the dugout they showed him and he was tearful. And yeah, he's got. I mean, he is. He's first two starts and it hasn't gone. I mean, it's not horrible, but he's crying out there. People are.
It's a lot of pressure. Pressure of a country.
Yeah. No. When you got. Well, but you got. He's not the only. He's not carrying a country.
Well, he feels it on his back.
Apparently, he does. But apparently the thought is he's 23 years old. The thought is that he was immature in Japan and wasn't ready. The thought was he wasn't really ready for this. And he's got a 5.79 ERA and it's not good. An inning and two thirds and then they were in Japan, and he only lasted three innings. He gave up an earned run. He had five walks, four walks against Detroit the other day. So I don't remember ever seeing anybody cry when they're taken out of a game. Did you? Have you?
No, the craziest crying is Razor Ruddock starting to cry in the middle of a boxing match. No. Was it? No, it wasn't Razor Ruddock. It was Oliver McCall. Oliver McCall crying against, was it Lennox Lewis? That was the craziest I've ever seen where he was sobbing in the ring. Do you remember that?
No, I do.
Dude, it's crazy. I think it was the same day or about the same day. For some reason, I remember it when Cordell Stewart threw the 70-yard touchdown, Hail Mary. But Oliver McCall cried in the ring.
Well, and we saw, I just saw, you know, Tennessee player in Rick Barnes' arms crying.
Yeah, as his career was coming to an end.
Yeah, that's, and they just lost a big game. This is the first game. This is two games in the major league season.
Listen to a old school Japanese baseball player, former manager. He said this. It's Tatsuro Haruka said this about.
Good job, Dale.
Nice. What can you?
Nope. Not adding any extras like you. Nope. Not doing that. I felt like what I did was cool. Now you're just trying to mess me up.
Okay.
This is what he said. Sasaki seems to be made of glass.
Ooh, wow.
Pitching like that without a fully developed body will only cause injury. That's the real concern. He should have stayed in Japan and developed a body capable of competing in MLB before crossing the ocean.
Wow. Wow. he lasted an inning and two-thirds against Detroit the other day. Three hits, four walks, and two earned runs. Three innings against the Cubs in Japan, one hit, five walks. He's not only made of glass physically, but he's made of glass mentally, apparently. I hate to see the Dodgers fail, but.
No, you don't.
It's going to be great. Even if they win, as long as some of their players can fail.
As long as the young 23-year-old Japanese guy is miserable.
I pray on all of their downfall, if you really want to know the truth.
I'm praying
on the entire organization's downfall.
He did nothing to you. What did that young man do to you?
I know. I didn't say I'm good for this.
No, but he wears that uniform. Guess what?
Yeah.
Fail.
He doesn't know anything about the Houston LA thing.
Guess what?
I'm going to pray on whoever I can get their downfall, I'll take their downfall. Well, and if it's him, that's fine.
You got to pray.
I'm praying on all of their.
Pray
downfall.
On their on individuals because despite his issues, 6-0.
I'm praying on all of their downfalls.
With the second highest run differential in baseball.
No, they're going to win.
Yes, a lot.
They're
of
going
games.
To win a lot of games. I'll take my victories where I can.
It's not a real victory if you just see one crying Japanese pitcher. That's not a victory. If they're winning still, even when he's feeling bad.
If I see a pitcher cry for them, I don't care if he's Japanese, if he's Cuban, or if he's from Iowa. I don't care. Cry. Cry, Dodger, cry. That's how I feel about it.
I hope they're crying after the playoffs. And
feel like it.
That's what I... Well, it doesn't feel like it, but... You never know what's going to happen during a season. All of them could start crying. You don't know.
I don't know. I mean, what's the other star Japanese player there?
They don't have any other star Japanese players, do they?
He avoided a charge, put that off on his interpreter, and seems just fine.
He didn't put it off. I don't think he.
He did, kind of.
Somehow, some way, it's the other guy's fault.
Yeah. No.
However that came about.
I can't believe he didn't know anything. Stop.
No, he didn't know. The guy stole from
him.
Yeah,
right.
He stole from him.
He didn't know. Okay.
He stole.
Okay. You believe that, Dell? I got a bridge to sell you.
How much does it cost? Does it cost more than those Final Four tickets?
No.
There's Oliver McCall. You can buy four.
You can. Well, you might be able to get two Final Four tickets
for the bridge. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
See, in the middle of a fight, Oliver McCall's just. Well, he won't even go to his ring.
He quit fighting in the fight. He just quit.
He won't even go to his corner. They're like, what the hell are you doing? I remember watching this live, and Larry Merchant is literally out of his mind. Larry Merchant is about to have a stroke watching Oliver McCall start just walking around the rink. Lennox Lewis wasn't even punching him. He's like, I don't know what to do.
Okay, so do we have any other criers?
In the middle of a game?
In the middle of their the sport
they're
playing?
I felt like UNLV
the what?
Made Bobby
in the middle
Hurley
of the sport
cry.
They're playing?
Like, yeah, in the middle of the sport.
Roki was off the field when he cried, right?
He was tearing up on the mound. On the mound.
Because the most recent notable crier, it happened after the series was over. Joel Embiid couldn't control his emotions, but he didn't cry as the quiet shot was going up.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, you're right.
But
Embiid
he cried after the series was over. The Kawhi shot wasn't bouncing on the rim while he wasn't crying then.
Yeah, no.
So it's different. There's not a lot of crying
that
in the middle.
That was a bounce, too.
Yeah.
That was a bouncing shot.
Oh, my gosh. What a
three, four bounces.
What a lucky bounce.
It's very difficult to find a guy or a woman crying while the game is going on.
Yeah.
While they're competing.
What about a gymnast?
Well, they usually cry after they stick or not stick the landing, but they don't.
Somebody's probably
but
been
if they
hurt.
Fall. But they no. Ice skaters that fall.
Oh, yeah. They skate and cry.
Skate and cry. Yeah.
You have to continue.
I mean, Roki Sasaki's the toughest ice skater.
You couldn't ice skate. That's a tough sport.
It is a tough sport.
So why you say it like that then?
You know.
You were trying to denigrate him.
I did not denigrate anybody.
Did Davis Love ever cry or?
No, Davis Love would never cry.
What about that kid with the belt, with the white belt? That could be any of them now.
Ricky? You talking about Ricky?
With white belts.
No, that married the hot tennis player. Ricky.
No, he married Allison Stokey. He didn't marry a hot tennis player.
Oh, even better. Ricky, what's his name?
Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't cry. No. Well, golfers don't cry.
What about Minwoo Lee after he won?
Who?
We don't count that. But have you ever seen him cry? Oh, what about on a Father's Day where somebody wins like a golf tournament? What is it, Father's Day Masters?
Away.
What's the golf tournament?
The guy from Gonzaga cried
Morrison?
Before the game was over on the court and they got beat by...
Oh, Morrison. Well, Adam Morrison.
I thought the game was over when he started crying.
Yeah, we hadn't shut it down yet.
What do you mean? The game was over.
Did he cry on the court or just on the sideline?
No, he was crying on the court.
Okay, that counts.
He was sitting on the floor crying.
That counts.
As the clock expired, he started crying. Because they blew a lead. They had a big lead, and he blew it.
And he cried, and the clock was still going.
You know who would never cry?
Yeah, but that's a loss in a game. Not just, I'm taking out.
You know who's never cried in his life?
It's like Jalen last night getting taken out in the fourth quarter crying. No.
He better not cry. He didn't
do that.
You know who's never cried in their life, I bet? Machete. It probably takes a lot to make Machete cry.
Well, I know he felt bad. No, I know that he felt really, really bad about how he was hitting.
Didn't cry.
You don't know that.
He's mentally tough.
He might have cried.
No, when you have a shell, you have a hardened shell. When you hit like 140 and you play, and like that's just who he was.
No, he might
have. His hardened shell.
You don't know that.
You think it bothered him?
I know it bothered
him. That's great, but he's not going to.
I know for a fact he was bothered by
it. Didn't keep him from throwing people out.
No, but he still competed.
That's what I'm saying.
When he went home at night, you don't know.
He doesn't cry.
You don't know.
Machete doesn't cry.
Machete's the mind
tough.
Of a man.
Machete's tough. He doesn't let things get to him.
Well, no.
I want that. I want that out of my catcher, my 140 hitting catcher. Because right now I got an 89 hitting DH. I've got a 100 hitting, third baseman.
Third and first.
Yeah.
Bring Abreu back.
Oh, my God. Bring Abreu
back. Is Abreu hitting better?
He didn't hit a ball. He didn't hit two balls 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, but they found a spot where someone wasn't more times than Walker
hit him
has
where
so
they
far.
Ain't.
He hit him where they ain't more times than Walker has so far.
All right, we're breaking here. I want to talk about it. We got news of the weird coming your way next. All right, so Houston Powder Coaters, 281-676-3888. 281-676-3888. The biggest by volume and the best. They've been doing this for, five-star customer service, over 20 years, great Google reviews, hands-on, great communication, everything about it. Patio furniture, they'll fix it, they'll repair it, they'll make it look great. What patio furniture, this is an important time right now because we're getting to where you're going to get into the summer months, where you're going to be outside. It takes a little while, could take up to a month to get your stuff back. This is the time. Make the effort now. Car parts, wheel lifts, lift kits, wheels, lift kits, bumpers. If you got some rusted stuff that you need, you want powder coated, it just doesn't look the same. Whatever metal it is, they can do it. They can make it, they can powder coat it, make it look great. All right. Serving the entire area. If you can hear us pretty much, they will pick up and deliver absolutely free. It's incredible what they're doing. They are the standard bearer for the market, so for the industry. If there's patio furniture that's been in your family for years and you want to keep it, it's sentimental to you, go call 281-676-3888 or go to HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Ben Crenshaw cried at the Masters. He won the Masters. That's why he cried, and his coach died that week. I mean,
Harvey,
there's a lot of conditions that you will allow crying. All I heard was Ben Crenshaw cried. Not mentally tough, apparently.
A Phoenix teacher is crying. He was arrested after allegedly peeing into a can while he was at his desk.
While kids were sitting in the classroom?
Arrested? Yeah.
They can't see nothing. Who cares?
Oh, it's got to be for public. Oh, breaking news. Hold on.
Ah.
Table. Tush Push is still.
Tush Push is alive.
Alive.
They've tabled the tush-push conversation.
There are also other rules that will be enacted that if you want to know about, you can listen to the Del LaLea show.
What? Tomorrow. You didn't give them to during this show.
Sorry, you were too. You wanted it to be a Cougs day, so I don't want to bring any NFL
stuff
to the table.
J-off.
Well, excuse me?
I can say that's a clean
version. You call me?
A J-off.
How am I a
J-off? It's a clean version.
How am I a J-off?
No, because you bring stuff to your show and not this one.
Yeah, because...
And it's intentional.
Because you guys would ruin the topic, so I don't bring it
now,
to this
show.
What
were we talking about before then?
You were just peeing in a can.
Some guy peeing in a can,
so peeing in a can, so obviously they got him.
They can't see you pee. What? I mean...
Are you
supposed to go into the little boy's room?
Are you actually defending the teacher who
I'm a guy who likes to pee wherever.
Yeah, you peed on bar floors, we understand. Actually defending a teacher who couldn't walk to the restroom and decided to pee?
I got
to
say, I'm not going to be hypocritical.
I saw a video yesterday
of a guy at a bar, standing at the bar, peeing.
He acts like he's reading a menu. He's like...
Yeah. And he's peeing?
And you just see the stream.
I told you the story, my buddy.
No.
I didn't tell you the story. We're at a bar. It's here in Houston.
How long ago was this?
Oh, it's got to be 20 years.
Okay,
20 years.
Good. At least.
We're standing at the bar, and he goes, you know what I'm doing right now? I go, no. He goes, nah, I'm peeing. Well, little did he know that he was where the bar picks up, and there's... He thought he was up against the wall of the bar. No, he's peeing right back into the bar because it's an opening in the bottom there where the bartender lifts it up and then comes out.
So he's peeing on himself?
No, he was peeing behind. He was going behind the bar, and the bartender comes walking up, and he goes, are you peeing right now? He goes, yeah, here's 100, and we're leaving. He put 100 on the bar.
I do feel like, okay, somebody's got to clean the pee, though.
Yes.
Well, the 100 was the only move
that
he could make.
That was all. That was it. It was the only move he
could
make.
Good thing he had cash with him.
I was laughing
so
hard. So
a grown
hard.
Man was peeing in a bar, and he told you that?
Huh?
He just thought, guess what I'm doing?
I was standing next to him.
And he's peeing.
Yeah, he's peeing.
Did you tell him, just go?
No.
Go outside.
I thought it was funny. Thought it was funny.
You can't just pee where... You know Matt Jackson got held in a jail in French Quarter? He was there for a U of H football game one time. And you know they have... French Quarter has these little mini jails or whatever.
Before he found God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you found God, you would not pee in the streets of French Quarter. And
I don't pee in public anymore.
He was, if I remember the story right, he was just going to, try to, do the old pee in the... In the alleyway, in the French Quarter.
That's what everybody
does.
There's
two things they don't let you do. You're not going to break glass, and you're not going to pee in the French Quarter. They will get you for that. They let you get away with a lot of stuff in the French Quarter. You're not going to break glass, and you're not going
to
pee.
Well, they used to let you because it still smells like the urine from the
70s
there.
No, it does. People get away with it, but they don't let you pee.
Right.
Well, they're very anti-peeing in the French Quarter.
So, News of the Weird was just one story.
Yeah.
And... As Sean Mates pointed out, this all devolved from a guy who peed in front of his class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you defended it.
I mean, but have you ever peed on a road trip? Have you ever peed into a Gatorade bottle on a road trip? Of course, everyone has.
There wasn't a classroom full of kids in the car.
Yeah. But have you done that?
The kids can't see you.
How do you know?
You're behind a desk.
You don't know how discreet he was.
Oh, yes, he was. Well, unless it would go.
How do you know?
Into the can.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they heard it.
What if it's a coffee can?
We're done. Mopey and Mapes next. I guess you'll find out what happened at the winter meeting because he's a J-off.
I don't know if this should continue.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, Great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all iqbar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.